Now, here are a couple of things that we need to think about with curiosity. First of all, it needs to be benefits-based. We're not building curiosity for the sake of curiosity. So sometimes we've seen people try to do this, and it comes across as kind of salesy. It's like clickbait. We might put up trivia on our website. Hello, and thanks for listening. I'm Jason Sparks. This is Sparking Spiritual Growth. Thanks for tuning in on the Gospel Radio Network. We could say a lot of things about Jesus. One of the most amazing things to me, outside of his miracles, of course, was his ability to teach, his ability to reach into people's hearts and to help them to grow. And he had help because he knew automatically what was in the hearts of people. End of John chapter 1 tells us that. But he also had a unique ability of noticing environments and noticing where people were. And we can kind of gain some insights into how he thought. It might help us also to, in our evangelism, how we're going to reach other people. Because none of us are going to be able to look at people like Jesus could and just know instantly what they're thinking or what's in their hearts. But that doesn't mean that we can't figure out some things that they're thinking. We may not be able to judge their hearts completely, but we can make judgments about their hearts. And based on that, we can help bring them along, help bring them closer to Jesus. It's going to help our evangelism a lot. When Jesus sat with people, one of the things that he did that infuriated the Jewish leaders was that he would eat and spend time with publicans and sinners, tax collectors and sinners. The tax collectors were specifically tax collectors, and that's who Zacchaeus was, Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. They were considered to be traitors and thieves because they would take taxes for the Romans, and they would often make claims against people against the Jewish people, their own brothers and sisters. And based on these claims, they would then receive more than the Romans needed, and they would just pocket the difference. And Zacchaeus was a rich man, and he was not only rich, he was not only a tax collector, he was a chief tax collector. That means he had other tax collectors working under him, and he was like a tax farmer, I guess you'd put it that way. And he is an example of the kind of people that Jesus would spend time with. But the accusation that he spent time or he would eat with publicans and sinners was a generic accusation, but it wasn't completely accurate. I mean, yes, these people were considered sinners. These people were considered tax collectors. There's no question about that Zacchaeus was a tax collector. But the accusation kind of sounds like he just met with everyone. He just ate with everyone. If they were sinners, he would pick them out. And he would just spend time with them. He'd belly up to the bar with them. He'd do all kinds of things. He would engage in social activities that were wrong. And that was the accusation. In fact, they even accused him of being a glutton and a wine bibber, right? He's a glutton and a drunkard. And of course, those things were inaccurate accusations, but it was still what they were accusing him of. And they were accusing Jesus of spending time with these publicans and sinners, but what we need to recognize is that Jesus wasn't just spending time with publicans and sinners. He was spending time with publicans and sinners who actually wanted to learn and grow. And so he knew the kind of people that would respond appropriately. And one of the great things about Luke chapter 19, 1 through 10 is we can have some insight from there about how we could start seeing the hearts of people as well. We can start making some assessments of where people are. And there are a lot of ideas like this. There are a lot of passages that kind of give us insights on the way people think, things to look out for. And it's very clear in this section that curiosity was very important in Jesus picking who he's going to sit and talk to. There are several things that we're going to look at with this, but stoking curiosity in other people is really a great way to approach evangelism. And it's not something that I'm particularly good at, but I'm trying to figure out how to make it better. So, by the way, if you have any insights, if you have things you want to suggest or questions that you have, please let me know. You can email me at hope.preacher@gmail.com, and I'd love to hear from you. So looking at Zacchaeus, he was obviously curious. He's a short man described there as a man of small status, stature. And I can imagine him, he's in a crowd and he's kind of hopping up and down, trying to look over people's shoulders. I mean, I see him as a very short man, or wouldn't have said that. And he's trying his best to maneuver himself so that he can see Jesus, because he's evidently never seen him before. And the text says that he wanted to see who Jesus was, so he ran ahead of Jesus, and he climbed a sycamore tree so that he could get a better view. And as Jesus walked by, he looked straight at Zacchaeus and told him, called him by name and said, "Come down, because I'm going to spend time eating at your house today." So Jesus just invited himself over. There are a lot of things about that, but I want to notice one thing right now, and that is Zacchaeus was curious, and Jesus gave preference to that. He rewarded Zacchaeus' curiosity by giving him an opportunity to feed Jesus a meal. And that meant that he's going to spend time with Jesus, that all of his questions could be answered. He sees this now, this man, Zacchaeus sees this man, Jesus, is like a celebrity. He's coming through town, and so everyone's crowded around, and he's just got to figure out, oh, who is this guy? What does he look like? Who, you know? And so while Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was, he's trying to see what Jesus looked like, and that kind of would give him a little bit of an indication of who Jesus is. Jesus already knew Zacchaeus by name. As he walked by then, Jesus evidently recognized that Zacchaeus was looking for answers. He was looking for something. So much so that he climbed a tree to find out more information. When you see people who are curious about Jesus, act on it. But one of the curious things that he did, that Jesus did, as he walked by, he looked at Zacchaeus, and Jesus, knowing that Zacchaeus was curious, what you don't see is Jesus looking at him and saying, "Hey, do you have any questions? I'd love to sit here and talk to you." And he could have easily stopped right there and talked to him as long as he wanted to. But he didn't. He said, "Hey, come down from the tree and feed me a meal." That's curious to me. And the reason that it's strange, I mean, it sounds strange. You don't invite yourself to someone's house. It's pretty audacious, really. The culture was a little bit different, of course. It was not something that he was doing that was wrong, but it was something he was doing based upon the curiosity that Zacchaeus had. When Jesus recognized that curiosity, he actually required even more from Zacchaeus. Wasn't it enough? You know, when you act on curiosity, when you act on it, it builds it even more, because it reinforces the belief that there's something there that I need to know. And my acting on this belief that there's something there that I need to know reinforces that belief that there's something there that I need to know. And so your curiosity grows naturally. And Jesus stoked it even more by saying, "Come down and feed me a meal." So he had to do even more to find out the answers. And that action in and of itself builds the curiosity even more. And we've all done that. Just think about in your past how you have, if you've acted on something that you're curious about, it always made you more curious. It always built that. It's like a fire. And if people are good at it, they really, really help you become more and more curious, to the point that you're just, have you ever gotten to that point where you're like, "Just tell me already," right? Because we want to know, and that curiosity can get the best of us. Jesus did that. The reason for that, and the reason that that's an indicator of a heart, is because God has always designed his word so that the people who are looking for the truth can find it, but the people who aren't looking for the truth won't find it. And Jesus taught this in many parables, in many ways. The best one is probably related to the parable of the sower. And there are other ones that would fit into that category as well. But if we don't want to learn the truth, we're not going to learn it. But if we do want to learn it, and we're willing to seek for it, to search it out, we're going to learn it, and we'll find it. Jesus said in John 7, verse 17, "If anyone wills to do my will, he will know whether or not my words are from God." The stipulation there was that we have to be willing to do what God says. If we come to the Bible willing to do what he says, our attitude is, God, I don't know what this is going to say to me, but whatever it says, I'm going to do it. That is the attitude that we have to have in order to find truth. But sometimes we come to the Bible and we're saying, as long as I can prove what I already believe to be true, I'm going to do it. But that's not curiosity. That's not coming to the Word of God curious. It's coming to the Word of God with our minds already made up. And so Jesus recognized that Zacchaeus was curious. He saw him climb the tree. That's the only explanation for it. And so he rewarded that faith, that belief. And the belief was that Jesus obviously had something to give him. He rewarded that by inviting himself over to Zacchaeus' house. And that means that he was willing to make small sacrifices. And what Jesus did in requiring Zacchaeus to invite Jesus to his house was he required that Zacchaeus make one more step to make another small sacrifice. And it was actually a greater sacrifice than the one he had previously made. The sacrifice that he made before was a little bit of embarrassment maybe for running ahead and climbing a tree like a child. But that was rewarded by a little bit larger sacrifice of inviting Jesus over to his house and hosting him. It's good for us to also impose on other people to a certain degree. And sometimes, I mean, I say that because sometimes we worry so much that we're going to be an imposition to other people. But if they're actually looking for truth, it's not an imposition for us to invite ourselves over or to invite them over to meet in a mutually safe location. Those kinds of things are not bad for us. And so we should never feel guilty about that. In fact, it's probably beneficial to them to make a little bit of an effort because that builds faith. It builds belief. At the very least, it's going to build curiosity. If we can figure out how to tap into that, it's like a fishing lure. It's very powerful. If you can tap into that and help people understand that you have something to offer them, and you're building that curiosity, you're going to have a lot better time finding people who would actually be willing to sit down and talk. Now, here are a couple of things that we need to think about with curiosity. First of all, it needs to be benefits-based. We're not building curiosity for the sake of curiosity. So sometimes we've seen people try to do this, and it comes across as kind of salesy. It's like clickbait. We might put up trivia on our website, and we're hoping that people will click on it and sign up for a Bible study based on that. So the trivia might be, how old was the oldest man? And so people, they look into the scriptures, and they see Methuselah, and they put in there Methuselah, and the answer is correct. And so therefore, then, based upon that, we send them a message saying, hey, congratulations, we'd like to have a Bible study with you. So what do we call that? What we call that is clickbait or bait and switch. And that is, they responded to a question out of curiosity, and we have then switched to assuming that the curiosity means that they have a curiosity about the rest of the Bible too. It was just a curiosity about that one thing. And so the basis of this curiosity, it needs to be stoked on the right things. Someone said, whatever it is that you lure people in with, that's what you have to keep providing for them to keep them there. So if it's entertainment, if it's a lot of having fun, if it's parties, there's all kinds of ways that we can lure people into church, for example. Those are the things we have to keep doing to keep them there. So we need to make sure that we're genuine, that we're offering people, we're building curiosity about is actually relevant and important and worthwhile, something that they're going to continue to get, so that we're not practicing the clickbait kind of thing. That's called manipulation if you do it with a clickbait. But curiosity in and of itself is not bad. And if we are being genuine and upfront with people and we're trying to help entice them to come, you know, there's so many ways that we can show the benefits and build curiosity through that. And the curiosity could be based on, you know, what does it mean to have a better life? What does Jesus mean when he said that he came to seek and to save that which was lost? What does Jesus mean? What does it mean to be lost? What does Jesus mean when he says that we can have the abundant life? And there are so many ways that we could approach that because we're going to build curiosity that way. One of the things that I do online a lot, especially in social media, is I talk about the benefits of what I'm trying to do and help people build a relationship with God. I talk about, mentoring. I talk about the process. I talk about the results, how that we can have peace, joy, and love, and give illustrations and demonstrations of how other people have benefited from that, how I've benefited myself in finding peace in life, and how we can, there are certain ways and tactics that we can use to produce peace and joy and to have consistency in life. These are things that people are looking for. And if they are looking for them and they run across me talking about them, they might be more curious. Okay, I know that you're talking about building consistency in life, for example, and you've talked, and I may say some things about that and how to be more consistent in your life. And what that does is it plants a seed, and they become more curious. Okay, what else could you say about this? And in stoking that curiosity, then people start asking questions. They may not ask you, but they're asking it inside our head. And when they start asking questions in their head, if you can figure out what those questions are, you provide answers, it's going to help them. It's going to build confidence, but it's also going to raise other questions. Because have you ever learned anything that also didn't bring with it questions? So we're helping to stoke curiosity by talking about things that people need and that they're looking for. And at the same time, that's going to bring up other questions in their minds. And hopefully they will continue to be around when we offer them an invitation to sit down and talk about it more. They will want to listen to us. So that's the thing I wanted to say about curiosity and how we can use that like Jesus did in order to have Bible studies, in order to improve our evangelism. And if you have any thoughts about this, let me know. I would love to hear from you. So you might help me figure out how to make this better in my own life and how I can also help other people improve their relationship with other people and make evangelism a little easier, more accessible to the average Christian. Because we don't have to know everything. All we have to do is bring them to the one who does know everything, and that's Jesus. So we can do that. We've got it made. And so we're building a curiosity in other people. Thanks so much for your attention. Like I said, please get a hold of me if you have any comments or questions. hope.preacher@gmail.com. Thanks, and I'll see you next time.